Disney Channel movie. Let's watch a Disney Channel movie. Hello, everybody. Welcome to D Comedy, our rewatch, review, whatever you want to call it, podcast. This month, your D commentators are me, Lucas.
And me, Emma.
And we are here today to talk to you about the Disney Channel Zombies 3, which premiered on Disney Plus.
I do have to say really quickly before you start fucking shitting out of your mouth.
Nonsense. Really aggressive.
Because that's what you're going to start doing. I have looked into this now, but the most recent ones, that's how they're releasing these movies now. You can't say Disney Channel. It's not 1999 anymore, honey. I don't want to burst your fucking bubble. The new Descendants movie is coming out streaming first. Like,
I understand that. It just was funny to me because, like, when you look it up, it's just Disney Plus original, Disney movie. Not there. Disney Channel is not the branding.
I'm just saying, I refuse to argue with you over any future movies. I will not. Or I will leave the podcast.
The tiebreaker we always use is the Wikipedia. The Wikipedia is what lists what does and does not count. That's what we go by. But no, I'm just poking fun. We were always going to do Zombies 3 as much as I pushed against it.
It's because there's going to be a Zombies 4, motherfucker.
It's insane to me that there's going to be a Zombies 4.
How old are these kids?
What is it going to be?
I actually feel like they didn't, but let's...
Well, I just felt like they ended on kind of a good note. Were you not a fan of this one?
No, I actually was not really a fan of this one. I will make my argument for why I wasn't.
I'm gonna be honest with you, that was fine. I didn't make me cringe as much as the other two when watching it, so I kind of enjoyed it more.
I'm wondering what makes you cringe about these movies. Because I think we have reverse cringe factors. Because what I like is the love stuff, and it's not as prominent in this movie, so I was fucking disappointed.
The biggest cringe points for me are, number one, Zed, because I always found him annoying and weird. But no, he actually, I think at this point, Milo Manheim has, like, really nailed the role. Like I said,
he's so good.
You've always thought he was good, but I said I didn't like him in the first one, and then I liked him more in the second one, and here I think he's good. I think he grew into it. Yeah, I think they've nailed it down. Just because I don't like him, you know, turning to camera and being like, "Hi, I'm Zed." It's just so distracting and non-believable to me. That's number one. And then number two is the crazy line that they will throw in there where I'm trying to think of one exactly.
I have you written down.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, because you find them funny.
I find them really funny,
and I'm just like, this is painful to me.
These are just like high camp. They're like John Waters movies. Like, you can't take them seriously.
I'm not trying to take them seriously, but it's just like, I don't find them funny.
As far as like movies, that the fact that our father came in and out of me watching this movie, he was like, "What the fuck is this?" And then kept sitting down and being like, "Wait, so what's he?" And I was like, "He's a zombie." And he's like, "Wait, so what's that guy? I was like, here."
That says more about our dad.
And I was like, "That's a werewolf." He goes, "There's werewolves and zombies." And I was like, "And aliens now."
No, that says more about... our dad will watch anything that's on. I full on walked in watching that man watch The Vampire Diaries just because it came on after the news.
And he was like, season of Vanderpump Rules because they just played it on a loop on E or something.
Spoilers, yeah, there's aliens now, gang. That's what
we
doing.
We knew that by the end of the last
one.
We did.
We knew where they were going.
My problem with this, and this is like, I'll just say it up front. I thought going into this, I didn't realize they were making a fourth one until the end when I started
Googling. I think it's in production right now.
Yeah, they're filming in New Zealand right now.
Oh, it's in New Zealand. No.
I thought this was the end to the trilogy. I thought this was the High School Musical 3 of the Zombies trilogy. And my problem with it was that, like, I just felt like it was like a rush job of a sequel where they were like, we gotta get this going, get people back, do the aliens thing, give her like the final arc of finding out like what she is, basically. But there's almost too much going on. The college admissions plus the alien plus the scholarship plus werewolves and
you forgot the most important plot line of it all, which is Bonzo getting his driver's license.
Oh my god. And also like, they were just like, we need to make this sequel, and clearly Eliza wasn't available.
No,
so I'm like,
my note on that
was that actor actress booked? Who is she?
My note on
Eliza. You have another job?
No, my note on Eliza was that somebody clearly had gotten COVID positive right before.
Oh, you think she tested positive?
Or where she was exposed or something because she's aside from the entire cast.
That actually might be correct. Because I looked at her IMDb and I'm like, she's not booking other
games. Because like, this came out 2022, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was like, maybe she got a Marvel movie, you know? Like, I was like, great for her, but then she didn't. So I'm like, where the fuck
was
she?
I don't know. It just reads like, this actor can be in it, but they need to be in an entirely separate location.
And here is my take on that. But they didn't have time to rewrite the script to write her out.
They wanted to force her in wherever they could.
Here's my thing, though. If you are not physically on set and you are being transported around via iPad the entire movie, you don't get a love plot line. Yeah. Sadly.
Why did we need that?
We don't need it. And
I didn't hate it for the record, but it came
but that's
really
my
pointless.
Problem with this movie as a whole. I, as the biggest zombies champion on this podcast, this movie has some stuff that I think really works. Like, they cook with gas.
Yeah.
And mainly the components of that are Zed and Addison together, singing, dancing, being a couple.
You're biased because those are three of your favorite things. Couples, singing, and dancing.
And, but like, they are both very good singers and dancers. They are good. They have great chemistry together. They're very cute together. They look good together. They fucking look like Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. And if you're making that live action, just cast those two assholes. You already have them trapped in New Zealand. They look perfect for the part.
They're already trapped in New Zealand. Disney will not let them leave.
They're
the
clearly in a lifelong contract with Disney. They can't do anything else.
Maybe they just love doing these zombies movies. They must be really fun.
Niall Mannheim is in this great show that I will recommend right now to anybody who's like, what should I watch this weekend on Netflix? Watch School Spirits on Netflix. It's one season, but I know they are making a second. It was originally on something nobody normal had, and so I never saw it. It's Peyton List.
Was it Quibi?
It's actually the first... I was trying to make a joke, and then I couldn't even land up because I started laughing at my own joke. I was going to say that it's actually the first TV show streaming straight through the Grubhub app. But I was... it's very Zed. His character is very Zed Cody. He's like a football player, but like goofy jock with a heart of gold, and like he's really good at that. So my point is, I'd like Bob Iger to release him from Under Cage. They have him in New Zealand and let him be in more projects. But if we're going to keep him in his Iger cage, then let's make him live action Flynn Rider Tank.
Are they making a live action Tank?
There's been rumors about it forever. Okay. I've heard the latest one that a few months ago it was saying.
Well, let's save this post podcast.
We gotta get into it now. So it was a few months ago, or maybe a year ago, they were saying it was going to be Baz Luhrmann, which I'm a big Baz Luhrmann head. As you guys may have known, if you follow me on Twitter, I was obsessed with Elvis. I'm obsessed with everything.
I think Baz Luhrmann's a little hit or miss.
For me, even when he misses, and boy, does it hit. Baz Luhrmann was going to do live action Tangled starring Florence Pugh, which felt like choking up on the bat, knocking it out of the park. I was like, Florence Pugh. Anyway, that was when I was like, well, Bob Iger is inceptioning me on planes. Confirmed. And then I saw something about them casting Anika, who was in the new Mean Girls musical, which I think she's great as well. But, like, my point is if you have Donnelly and Milo Mannheim locked in an Iger cage, just put some braids in her hair and fucking push them onto stage.
It sounds, and we keep saying it like that, it sounds like something from, like, Men in Black. Put that alien in an Iger cage.
Like, it's like Tiger Cage.
Well, yeah, but, yeah.
It's better than Cameron Cage, which is where Zoe Saldana's been trapped for the past 12 years.
She got let out to go in the James Gunn cage to finish up the Guardians trilogy.
Well, that's still an Iger cage.
She was out of her Cameron cage. Trading a cage for a bigger cage.
But point is, they have great chemistry, and I think this movie, after the wolves thing, we didn't need more characters. We now have three more new characters. We have new wants and motivations, and then once these aliens are introduced, we don't need the wolves. There's too many cooks in the kitchen, and because of all of these cooks, they are letting the stuff that works, which is the Zed and Addison relationship, and Bucky, who is given nothing to do in this movie.
100%. Why is he here? Why is he here?
But he's such
a... No. We've said on every single episode, there are two characters that we will love till the day we die. One is the football coach, who is still incredible.
Who is this?
Still incredible.
Still incredible.
And Bucky just bringing so much, like, over-the-top energy and knocking it out of the park. But it's so confusing why he's in here, because... He's older than them, right?
I thought
shouldn't he have graduated by now?
It's like they just wanted someone to come do that twisting back full, and they were like, just
in Zombies 1, he's already, like, the captain of the cheer squad, and it's, like, her first day at high school, so it's, like, he should be at least... So unless he got held back or something, I don't know.
They just want him to come flip. He has no purpose.
He should... quick note, here's how I would have fixed that. He's already graduated. He's here to judge the cheer competition that they do at the
end. Yeah, great.
That's all you need to do.
Wow.
And then, of course, him being him, he's actually making it all about himself, and because he wants to
win.
That's
a smarter way
to go
about
it. I don't know why he's here. But since we're talking about starting the movie off, why don't we just get right into it?
Okay, do you know why this recap exists? Like, this weird recap, but it's animated? Because...
Well, they do it in every...
Okay, that's what I think happened, because they basically do this whole recap of, like, here's what Seabrook was, and blah, 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 and it's animated, and you're watching this, and I know my zombies lore. I don't really need this recap.
Which they screw it up, because they say in this terribly animated intro, they're like, zombies, and then werewolves showed up. No, werewolves were first, and then zombies got made.
Okay, but also, they do all this explanation of, like, and now we're all going to Mountain View College. Addison got in already, and Zed has to, you know, get a football scholarship, and he'll be the first, like, zombie, and he's gonna open, like, break through the glass ceiling for zombies to go to college. They do all of that in the animated intro, and then make the live-action characters repeat verbatim what was said in the animated intro. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did they not know they were going to do this intro? Or did they, like, realize too late that, like, oh, every movie has an animated intro, we should make one?
I feel like it's more the latter. It's
because,
like,
you see them do the exposition in real time.
And they don't even really recap the first two movies.
No!
Like, they give you the baseline of what, like, the status quo is after them, but they don't be like, last year, you know, we went to the prawn and we had to recover the moonstone to make the werewolves. It was the stupidest shit. I'm not taking that up with you again. But it was like, we had to save the moonstone for the werewolves, and they're all our friends now.
I forgot they called it the prawn.
How could you forget that? You literally...
And that's what I wanted. Why was there no prawn? Like, I'm a girl. Put them in dresses and make them sing to each other. Like, God.
Because they already did. That was the last movie.
They wanted it again.
They can't have it every time.
Also, why can't monsters go to college? Also,
because the world is racist.
Why couldn't they think of a better name besides Mountain College?
That was terrible.
I thought it was going to be another pun.
I thought anything would have been great. But yeah, and Addison has already gotten into
this. If
they
were the shrimp, they could have been like the lobsters.
Well, they don't say what the mascot is. They just say it's Mountain College. Because the evil team, they're not evil. They're not even barely in it. Are the East Side Eels? They're not factor. But that's who they're playing this football game against, which we never get to see.
And also, there's so much riding on this football game.
Way too much. Arguably too much.
Monsters can't go to college, but if Zed gets a football scholarship at this game, but only if they win.
Yes, he only gets a scholarship if they win.
And then the fate of all other monsters' college applications are in his hands.
Also, I don't mean to go here, but we cut in, you know, we're doing like practice the day of the game before the game kind of a thing. Zed is cheating. Zed, you using his zombie strength, that's cheating.
That's how he's good.
No, but he was doing that in the first movie because he needed to be accepted really bad, and like, so he needed to really stand out, and I get it. But now that that's like part of the strategy, that's cheating. Not all the other teams can do that. I'm sorry, Zed. Yes, but you do see the football coach again, who's so...
Where he's like, you really turned things around. The line in Kenobi was, no more going to the mall in pajama pants. I moved out of my mom's basement.
Yeah,
the
joke is this man has a horribly sad life that is always on the cusp
of
falling apart.
But going to the mall in pajama pants is such a good line.
All of his lines are good. I love this
one. Also, I will say, this is how you can tell this movie is a fucking bona fide hit. The effects look so much better and the wigs are so much better. His zombie effects, like when he hulks out, like the veins
and stuff.
Oh,
yeah. And they've nailed those down at this point.
And her wigs are like so much better.
There is one effect that looks awful. It's so bad. It's the in the final performance, her weird...
I'm talking about the zombie hulking out. Like when you
Then even when we meet the aliens later, the alien effect, it's all pretty good. Yeah. Nothing really stands out as like, ugh, you know?
But this is where they're just laying out the all the stuff. They're like, the coach is like, here's the football game. You're gonna get a scholarship. And his friend, Eliza, who's on the screen, is like, yeah, we need you to like get a scholarship, zombie guy. By the way, I'm at an internship.
An internship at the company that makes
the Z-bands. And that's why I'm not there.
For the whole school year. Fun fact.
And his sister...
Because you know how internships take you out of high school for the entire school year?
And his sister's like, yeah, like, do this for all of us. And I was like, why are we saying this all again? We just heard you guys say this.
And also, it's weird to say it to his face because... And, like, he makes a joke about everyone putting all this pressure on him.
That is the thing about Milo Manheim in these movies. They will throw such schlocky bullshit at him that he has to either deliver or receive. I buy it. It's believable where he's like, oh, no pressure. Like, and I'm like, good. There's another point where he does that where there's, like, a bunch of really crazy lines and he has to, like, cut it. And I'm like, he does that flawlessly.
Yeah, it's just, it's like this, where it's like, especially in this opening, and they keep doing it throughout the film, but it's really noticeable here, where he has to do the flip between direct-to-camera narration, which I always hate. It is my least favorite part.
But she does that too.
And it's also bad. But I'm just saying, like, the flipping, it's not, he doesn't do it as well because, like, he treats all of that narration like it's sarcastic. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, but, and then he has to switch to being a normal human being, and it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel right.
He's not a zombie. He's not.
You know what I meant. I meant the actor.
They make a joke about the friend breaking the glass, zombie glass ceiling. I was like, okay.
Yeah. And oh yeah, she's like, I literally broke the glass ceiling. But,
yeah, doing an experiment.
Yeah. But this is also when the credits are rolling on the screen, by the way. Two big things. First of all, Milo and Meg Donnelly are co-producers.
Are you fucking, no wonder they're making them more. They're making seven more. Yeah, they're
listed as co-producers on this movie, which I thought was pretty crazy. And then also is that we see the mothership is voiced by
RuPaul
is in this.
Lucas, when I tell you, here's the problem with these movies. I am so entranced by Milo Manham and Meg Donnelly that, like, I don't even read the credits. Like, I'm just watching them. Like, I'm like, it's like my Coco Melon. I'm like,
you said that about Cheetah Girls, too.
Same thing. Same vibes. But less Coco Melon vibes in this because I didn't like them a lot of these songs. Why the fuck did the Wolves have a song?
The songs were not... Oh, hang on. No, the Wolf song last time was good.
This Wolf song.
Yeah. Wait. Did you say why do the Wolves have a song?
Yes, in this movie. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. The Wolf song in this one isn't as good, but I thought you were like, why do the Wolves have a song? I was like, well, their last ones were good.
No, they were good. This one sucked. Yeah, I was like, why are we doing this?
For obligation, because the Wolves are largely pushed out of the narrative.
Yeah, they're irrelevant.
We'll get there, which is a shame, because I love Chandler Kinney as Willa. Great
character. I love her. She's the best. I love her. She's so gorgeous. The other two should not be.
So, no, for me, that's Winter. The other girl. She adds
Baby
nothing.
Baby Ariel, who's apparently a Musical.ly star.
Sure. To me, she doesn't need to be there.
She adds nothing. And the other one could have had an effective love arc with the friend Eliza, mm-hmm. had she been on screen.
Well, you have to remember, he almost had one with Addison in the last movie. And this one it was like a weird thing. They didn't lean that hard into it. We kept being like, is this a thing they're going for? Like a full-on Twilight? Like there's a werewolf now? And like,
but they know him better than that, because Zed, what do you got Zed on screen? It's not,
I'm just saying, but I'm saying like he had more of a thing last time than Baby Ariel did too. And she also doesn't show up for a bit, because she's on the football team, we found out later. But if she doesn't show it, I was like, oh, thank God, it's just
she's
the two of them.
Cutter.
I was like, it's just the two of them we have to deal with.
I like Willa a lot, and I think she serves the most purpose in this movie, but we didn't need all three of them having, like, an arc. Oh, then we see Addison, and her little white wig is so much better. It's so cute. She looks so cute. And her cheering is so much better. And so for the song, they be out of the mighty shrimp. And it's just, they do a little cheer, and the football team's watching.
And we also meet, I don't want to say our least favorite character, but
the friend.
Bree.
I said I hate Addison's friend.
She never adds anything to
the
narrative.
Well, I just hate the way her tone of voice works.
I know I do. Well, yes, but
that like weird effect.
I do have to give it to Bree, though. She has the funniest joke in the whole movie. She made me laugh the hardest.
What is it?
When
I wonder if I wrote it down.
When she has to stand up the fact that she's dating Bonzo to one of the aliens. We'll get there. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So yeah, they're just practicing cheering. Everyone's getting hyped up for the big game. Also, you see everybody in their football uniforms.
Oh, I laughed at that.
Yeah. But also, we see everyone in football uniforms. Zed's number, I'm pretty sure, is just Z across. It's like, that's not a number.
He doesn't need a number.
I know, but he's not the only zombie on the team.
They come up to each other, and I just was like, I'm so obsessed with them together. I just, every moment that they're on screen together is just, it's perfect. And then I wrote, I remember nothing of the werewolves lore, which you guys have learned, because I remember nothing about them except for the moonstone, which is apparently like installed on the town square.
It's in the middle of the town now. They moved because they saved it from the bottom of the power plant in the last
movie.
Like,
we see a rocket go through the sky for like 5 seconds.
It's a meteor.
And then I say, who are the werewolves?
And also, nobody reacts to the meteor hitting the earth, and I was kind of like, that's weird. I feel like maybe some people should have looked up, and they explain that later. But I was kind of like, okay, I guess we're just vibing.
This is when they're getting ready to get on the bus.
Yeah, well, so we start at practice during the day, and we do all the exposition and the credits, and then it like transitions into being night, and now everyone's like, we're getting on the bus, we're going. And Addison tries to do the the team's gonna come running through the banner, but Bucky comes running through the banner, and they're like, Bucky, why are you even here? You're not on the football team. He's like, I am the class president, so everyone's achievements are my achievements, meaning if we win, I win, and of course everyone wants me to win. That's the most
important
thing.
And Will is on the top of the bus trying to like hype everyone up.
Yes. Oh, that, because that's the other thing they do during the day, is Addison goes to Will and being like, hey, it'd be really nice if you could hype up people.
That's the male werewolf.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. Yes. Wyatt. They all have W names, how we know this. Which I think is her brother, if I remember correctly.
Is that her brother?
I think so. It's confusing because their skin tones are dissimilar.
That's not her brother.
Dissimilar. I'm fairly certain they were brothers, the brother and sister at the previous film, and we've had this conversation. Don't ask me.
Anyway, she's on the top of the bus giving a rallying cry about for this football game against the Eels.
Yeah, and it's like she's very violent. And she says the
craziest shit ever, where she goes, when you're from Seabrook, you are Seabrook. And I said, girl, what? You had me?
Also, you guys are not from Seabrook.
What does that mean?
They're not from Seabrook. They're from the forest. They hated Seabrook until like a year or two ago. I don't know how long it's been since the last movie. Maybe 3 years, because I don't know.
Also, my notes here. Can we not get Eliza back? Is this girl seriously busy? Where is she? It's definitely COVID.
Like Spider-Man.
Because it also just felt like such an irrelevant character where I was like, if she's busy, if she booked something else, then just write her out.
Mm-hmm. But no, it felt like Spider-Man No Way Home, where I was like, we want to bring all the villains back. And like, because of COVID, they're like, okay, you're just going to be a sand monster for most of the movie, Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be a lizard for most of it. And you're going to stay in the truck. And they had to kind of juggle that. And so you only see their human actors for like once or twice. But Eliza never even gets like, hey, I finished never my internship in time for graduation.
No, just a screen the whole time. And then during this scene where they're all like loading up for this, we then get it dumped that there's a cheer off, which is another, I'm like, God, I already at this point, before the aliens even land, I go, this is a lot.
Addison has organized, because she's the cheer captain now, she's organized a national cheer competition, which Buggy does not feel good about because it means they might give up the Seabrook Cup, which is like this trophy that they have for some reason. I don't know what it's for, if not for like cheer. Emma's laughing really hard at her own notes. Is this relevant to what we're talking about right now? Are you reading ahead? Okay. And so Buggy doesn't want to give up this cup that he cares about so dearly because, like, you know, he won it when he was the cheer captain or whatever. I don't know.
It's a lot. I've already got a lot of iPods.
I was literally crying right now.
At one point, I guess they're now going to load onto the bus, and he, like, wraps his arms around Addison to, like, hug her goodbye, and I wrote, they are my Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I love when he puts his arm around her. I'm going to let you know, by the way, this gets even more deranged. You're about to see a crazy
deranged. Wait, notes?
I started fully crying at one point.
I can tell you're crying now, currently, just reading them.
Guys, I was in a really fragile state when I watched this movie, and I should not have watched it in this state, but I was under the gun with time, so I just had to do it.
This also transitioned just into our first song,
bad. Don't we see Zed's dad here?
Oh, yeah, when briefly.
Because
yeah.
I said, I still love how Zed's dad acts like he's a mechanic in Goodfellas. He has like a New York accent.
Well, you can never pin...
That him and his sister don't have.
No, but you can never pin down what's going on with, what's his name?
Zed's dad.
Yeah, what's his name?
I don't know.
Zeven.
That's so funny.
It's not. I think it should be Zeven because it's like Steven. Anyway. No, because we made the joke that in the first movie, he's like he's operating like a food cart or whatever in the zombie town. In the second movie, he's a civil engineer.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to figure out.
His lore is all over the place.
It's hard to figure out what's going on with Mr. Necrodopolis. But yeah,
The UFO contact.
Yeah, I forgot that's what kicks it off, actually. But also we see the recruiter coming with another recruiter for the college. And he's like, oh no, this Zed kid, he's got it. It's going to do great. And Zed's like, yeah, I've got to wow this guy. And then as is going, like some more meteors come. And from the sky, and everyone is just like super chill. And Zed's like, oh yeah, ever since we brought the Moonstone above the ground, a lot more meteor showers lately. We've all kind of gotten used to it, or whatever. But what they haven't gotten used to is a giant spaceship above the middle
RuPaul
of the town.
RuPaul spaceship is coming.
Called the Mothership. No, it's just called the Mothership. But it's when it's voiced by RuPaul, I think you can call it the Mothership.
I think that's the joke for people that
maybe
get it.
I don't know.
I mean, RuPaul is mother, so like that's like
That's what they're going for, right? It's also very sassy.
I don't know what kids are getting for. Out of that, but I'm getting...
You would also... It's...
Kids watch Drag Race now.
Yeah, but I don't know if they would know just by RuPaul's voice.
What I don't think I said it earlier was I didn't see the credits because I was too mesmerized.
Yeah, no, we got that from
college. So I just, when the first time the Mothership spoke, I went, is that RuPaul? And I thought I was hallucinating auditorily.
But yeah, there's a spaceship above the town now and everyone starts
freaking
out. Did
you hear that really bad joke that where they try to like two-hand it and there's too much space in between it where someone goes,
shit I hate.
No, but there was too much space. That shit I love normally, but they let there's be too much dead air, and I was like, guys, you need to be quicker.
No, didn't land. But this, now that the UFO is here, we lead into our
Friends
first song.
Or Enemy.
Which is not good for a good chunk of it, because it's the kind of zombie song that I hate, where it's just people talking very quickly,
yes.
And like, we've got to get all this exposition out so people understand how we're feeling in this song, and it doesn't really, it like barely rhymes or whatever, but then it becomes like a good chorus, where it's like that Friends or Enemies thing, where they're trying to figure out what's going on, why is there a UFO,
and recording then, on your phone, or like, we should run back on, like, I actually don't mind this song, but also, like, it's like, fine. giant song, like an exposition, you know, big group number. And I was like, you know, whatever. And then it gets to this point where it's Zed and Addison standing under the thing and they're going back and forth and he's like, let's get you someplace safe, blah, blah, blah. And like, he's being so protective and she's like, no, they're friends. And I was like, this movie's at 11. It was like, it was at a 6. And the second it's them two just saying them two, it's an 11. I'm not saying they're better actors than everyone else, but it's just they are operating on a different level. And maybe it's the chemistry, but I was like, this is...
I think it's chemistry and they've worked together so many times at this point. I also...
Because like, this dialogue isn't even good, but they're selling it to me.
Sure. And also, I mean, it's not super on display here. It is more when the aliens beam down and the aliens just are all like in blue outfits. They have blue hair and like welding masks on, kind of a thing. But the choreography is on display in this film. It is pretty good overall, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of songs that like made you want to get up and dance.
No, I didn't think the songs were that good.
There was one song that I could kind of see.
There was two songs that I really liked. Okay. One that I loved.
Okay, we'll bring them up as they come along. But yeah, this is the thing. So aliens are here. They've beamed down.
Yeah.
Everyone's freaking out, which is pretty appropriate. But this movie, like, I gotta give them credit. Waste no time on just like aliens. There are aliens.
This
here.
Movie is jammed. Oh, there's 15 different plot devices happening. Like, there's so much going on. They fucking play the credits over the last song. Like, they are out of time by the end of it.
For sure. It is only an hour 30. I thought being not on Disney Channel initially, being a Disney Plus thing, they would have maybe give them a little more time. It's kind of weird, but there are a bunch.
But initially, the aliens come down. They're all, first in welding masks. And I remember from the last movie, they thought she was an alien because she had white hair. That was what they was going to explain her white hair. But the aliens have blue hair.
Yes, but also they didn't say that in universe. That was a tease to the audience. Was that we see a meteor crash and it like wakes her up and her hair glows or something like that. It wasn't like Addison, you might be an alien. It wasn't like that. But we meet. There are a bunch of aliens, but we meet the main three aliens. And they all have names:
Alan, Aspen, and Allie.
Yes. I need to point this out because I only remember this because we covered it at DCOM News at some point. Aspen
is non-binary,
but do they ever refer to them as they, them?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I was keeping an ear out for it. I never caught it.
Literally one moment. I didn't even remember that Aspen was non-binary going into this movie. I did not remember this from DCOM News. I only picked up on it because there is a scene where Meg Donnelly goes, they have a crush on you. And I was like, oh, Aspen's supposed to be non-binary. There's one moment. And yes. I think it's...
I was worried we had gotten... I'm just going to say it, gotten Disney'd.
Oh, where they say it and then
they're... Then they're like, this is our first homosexual character. And then it never really... And everyone's like, was it? Because it didn't feel like...
You would say the correct verb is getting blobbied, which is... I don't know if you ever watched the other two, where he plays a gay blob, and they're like, well, if Blobby was straight, he'd be in bed with a human woman. But he said he's in bed with another blob. He's actually our first gay character. And that he does, like, the cover of Out magazine.
I think we're going to say... get guest star or not LaFood
or Blobby.
Yeah. Or DeBoer. Disney is the point.
Or that lesbian couple in Star Wars that hugs for 5 seconds.
Progress is slow.
They acted like they were scissoring on camera and it's like a 5 second back pat. And I was like, what are we doing?
But for the record, I freaking loved Aspen.
No, I actually liked all the aliens. I thought
Allie was the weakest. Alan is kind of fun, but Aspen gets the most screen time and I think their actor does a really good job.
I liked all of them. I thought they were
No, I'm not saying anyone was bad. I thought Aspen was a standout for me personally. But they beam down and they tear up some ground and they're like, we've got to find this scout ship. And they like lift up some of the street and dig under there and there's a little like metal box and they touch it and a little hollow image pops up and it's like, oh, this is a scouting report. I went to look for our new home and I found Utopia, but I've hidden the coordinates in the most precious thing in Seabrook. You must find the most precious thing in Seabrook. And then the message cuts out and they're like, oh no, we don't know what they're talking about.
But the person has white hair. Yes. They're wearing a welding mask.
They're wearing the welding mask.
And I just write down in my notes, the most precious thing in Seabrook is going to be Addison. Because she's an alien, and she has white hair like that woman.
I didn't get that until she was on the ship later. I thought they were. I was said it when I because I've seen these movies. I thought it was gonna be the most precious thing in Seabrook is like the community, the love, the acceptance. You know the.
I knew
the,
it was
that. And it kind of is in the end, but it's more specifically it is actually.
This is I think on the bubble for best line in the movie where they're like facing off with the aliens, take off their welding masks eventually, and we know their mission is now to find the most precious thing in Seabrook. And they face off with Zed and the werewolves.
Yeah, the wolves and the zombies come over trying to defend everybody. Like, what's going on?
And Meg's like, stop, let's talk to them. And they go, take us to your leader. Your cheerleader.
I mean, that one wasn't bad.
That one, I was like...
I like how you started to do a mime puff cigarette and then realized this is an audio medium and people wouldn't have known what you were doing, so you had to say it. Because they hear that it's like, oh, we're going to have to figure out what the most precious thing in this place is, so we're going to have to stay here for a while. But we shouldn't tell them because we don't want them...
We need a cover.
And so they're like, hey, sorry, we didn't mean to upset you guys. We know we're a little, you know, we don't know Earth customs. And one of the flyers for the cheer event that Addison is setting up blows over and they pick it up and they're like, ah, yes.
Take
us to your leader, your cheerleader. And they're like, yes, we accept your invitation to the national cheer competition. Addison's just like, cool, dope. It's space cheerleaders. Great. Then the cops come and arrest him. Sorry, Z Patrol.
And then they take him back to like a holding cell. And
there's a pretty decent humor. But also, why are random high schoolers allowed to question the aliens?
I don't know, but also like there's just some stuff that's like fucking funny where like the dad and the principal are talking and he's like, oh, like good job like trapping those aliens, and like at one point she goes to shake his hand and he goes to fist bump, so then do a bump.
Again, you guys can't see this, but I'm
but it made me laugh.
No, the thing that made me laugh is they have all the aliens like in separate interrogation rooms, kind of a thing. Addison's dad, who you might remember, is the head of the Z Patrol, like the head, or whatever. The mom is the mayor of the town. She's also there, I believe.
Addison's a nepo baby.
You know, 100. That's not even a joke. She is. And he's like, "Don't worry, those kids will never get out." And then Alan walks out, being like, "Hi, excuse me. Did you need me? Want me to remain waiting in our own room by myself?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, okay. Just wanted to check." And he's like, "Would you like me to put back on your jewelry and rewire your door closed?" And they were like, "Yes." He's like, "Okay, great. I'll do that." And he just walks. Like that was pretty good. And his delivery was good.
Yeah, he's like, "May you find harmony." And he puts like a little bracelet back on. But then in the other room with Aspen, right?
Yes.
Zed is talking about...
Oh, yeah, by the way, they scared off the college recruiter, and he apparently, like, made him fully quit his job, so Zed is not getting recruited to Mountain
football
College.
The football team. So, yeah. But now, he's like, I need to get into this college, this is where Addison is going next year, and I need to be with all of my
And life. Apparently because that one guy quit, the entire thing is blown.
So, he finds an exceptional student scholarship, and I said again, this is a lot to track.
And yeah, because he mentions to Aspen that you ruined my chances to do this, and they do, like, a mind internet scan or whatever, and they're like, well, there is an exceptional student scholarship to this college that does not specifically prohibit zombies from applying. So if you apply to that, you could do it. So now that's Zed's goal for this movie, is to get this exclusive scholarship so he can go to college. But basically, they just determine, like, I mean, they're not violent. They haven't done anything wrong. They actually did say in their song that they come in peace multiple times, but everyone is still kind of scared. But, you know, I get it. It seemed like aliens were invading.
Also, at this point, they, like, disengage their emotional suppressors when Aspen's talking to Zed. Because they suppress emotions because it leads to discord.
Yeah, because they have a, like, hive mind, and so they want everyone to always be in harmony, and since emotions make things messy, they suppress their emotions. But they're like, I think it'll be easier for us to talk to people on Earth if we feel emotions for once. And everyone's like, okay, cool. And so they basically are like, okay, your ship can stay and you can compete in the cheerleading, I guess, but then once that competition's over, you really need to leave. And I was just like, everyone's being very cool about aliens just existing.
They also,
all of
like, explain to them the idea of like competition and like the, what a cheer comp, like, because like they are, have hive mind and they're all about harmony. So like they explain to them, like, oh, like, yes, this is what you want to like show off your skills and like, you know, compete. There's like a little running thing with Alan and Zed where Alan's like better, like just amazing and everything. He shocks Zed. And then we see the mothership.
Well, I do want to, we do need a reference because it's going to become important. Yeah, they introduced the fact that all of their alien species have this like stardust power in them, which does not cooperate well with either the werewolf's moonstone energy nor the Z-band like electrical field. So that's kind of one of the reasons why the aliens and werewolves don't really get along. Wait, zombies and werewolves don't really get along with the aliens immediately, even if they want to. So many things to keep track of.
As I said before, it's a lot of track. And I love the mothership thing, because it's like, RuPaul is just like the voice of this spaceship, but it's like being an annoying mom, where it's like, hey, do you remember your rations? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, and they're like, mom, like, stop.
Yeah, it's taking the mothership
joke, but it's like a very literal, very cute joke. And they're like, oh, God, okay, stop. They're like, wash your hands. And then this keys into my favorite, not my favorite, my second favorite number.
I knew you were going to love this number.
It's so good.
The choreography is really good.
The choreography is incredible.
I didn't think the song was that great, but the choreo slaps.
Well, she kisses on the cheek. I went, eeh.
Because it's the next day now, and now they're like walking to school. But this song also gives a weird vibe, because they're talking about like, oh, I'm going to love you forever. Like, we're going to be together forever. And then Addison's kind of like, we're only 17. Like,
I like that though. Like, I like it, but this is like you, it, the whole point of the song is like, they're like, it's fine. I'm not worried. Like, we're going to be together forever. But like, the point is they both are worried, because at this point, she she's into college, he's not, and things are not looking good. So it's like, she's kind of saying, like, he doesn't get, like, well, I'm not, like, what are we gonna do? Like, this is, we're only 17. Like, it's, they are both very desperately worried. And they have them in these little scenarios where they're, like, dodging arrows, like, and they're just, like, kissing.
There's a really good one where they have to walk over a pit.
Oh, the pit!
That was really good.
And they're
good.
Jumping on those planks. It's like Singing in the Rain, like, amazing walking through little gag setups, but they're doing this adorable partner choreography that I can't get enough of.
So then they get to school, and the zombies, the aliens are all there. They are kind of like, hey, cool, we're down to learn some stuff, I guess. Willa comes up to...
Oh, wait, I'm not done with that song.
Oh, you got... Okay,
sorry,
please.
I didn't realize how many notes I had on that song. At one point, she, like, grabs... Like, he dips her, and she, like, grabs the side of his head, like, the side of his face, and I screamed out loud. And so that's where I was at, and I said, I need to watch that 60.
You really were on Wonder
I
watching
was
this.
Really unwell. And then I was like, I need to watch that 60 more times. There's also... Is this where the aliens take a picture of the wolves?
Yes, I did realize. That's why Willa goes and talks to her.
Yeah.
When the aliens are walking in, they're like, oh, let us take, like, they have this thing called a Luma lens, which is just like a little oval they hold in their hands, and they hold it up to some of the werewolves' faces, and it, like, seems like it's taking a photo, but they don't really explain what it is or, like, whatnot, and they kind of walk off, and this perturbs Willa. So then she goes and talks to Addison, being like, hey, I do not trust these freaking aliens. They've got something going on more than they're telling us, whatever.
Like, Willa does have a purpose in this narrative, and the way, like, Bucky really doesn't. Like, Willa's purpose is, like, she is the one who is truly never, like, trusting of them, like, with, for good reason, because they are lying at a certain point. Like, she is the one who's kind of clocking a lot of their tricks.
Yeah, but it only happens, like, once or twice, and then otherwise they kind of disappear from the
because there's not enough fucking space in this movie for the 14
characters. It's true. But speaking of Bucky, he does show up to support, being like, well, to agree with Willa that it's like, hey, we should not trust. Because as we all know, Bucky is also kind of racist and xenophobic. He gets over it, but then doesn't get over it, and then kind of gets over it again, but he's always...
Well, we're always introducing new groups for him to be racist
That's
about.
True. That's very true. But there is a decent line where he's like, see, I knew you and I would agree, Will, or should I say Wacy, because as you might recall, his three henchmen are the Aces.
I laughed at that.
It took me a second to remember. I was like, why did you just call her Wacy? And then I was like, oh yeah, Lacey, Stacy, and JC. There was Tracy, but then they left.
Well, then that, Tracy left.
Tracy was only in the first one. That's pretty funny. But Addison's just like, guys, this is Seabrook. You know what our whole bit is. We're accepting. It's going to be great. They're going to be in the cheerleading competition. It's going to be so much fun. Also, I'm not worried about them winning the cheerleading competition. Let's be honest. We're great.
We're going to win.
We're the mighty shrimp.
Then he's talking to the Eliza robot, Zedis.
Yes, well, Eliza. So Eliza, we need to talk about the Eliza robot.
God, I fucking hate it. I literally said, not the Eliza robot. I don't care
so
about
during
this.
The,
why doesn't he just carry an iPad?
So during the alien attack, Wyatt was trying to tell Eliza that he has a crush on
her. They should literally just come on screen and say that Eliza is dead and give all of her lines to his sisters. Like, Lucas just spit his water everywhere.
But
that would save so much time and money. They had to build this robot.
Yeah, but I like Eliza.
I don't give a shit. She's not upset.
The point is that, yeah, the iPad broke.
I don't like anyone enough to do this bullshit.
They built it into a robot.
If Zed was he's my favorite character, and if he was the one with COVID, I would be like, kill him off.
So yeah, now she's a robot wandering. Because I guess maybe they didn't want to just shoot everything with everyone looking down at an iPad and talk to Eliza.
Better?
I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's more visually interesting. Where he's basically filling her in on, like, hey, so this exceptional student scholarship, I have to submit my application today because it's like pretty much last minute.
Because men do everything last minute.
He found out about it 3 hours ago. and he's like, I need your help because you're the smart one. You're the hacktivist, as he calls her. So I just want to know, like, what you think. She's like, okay, let me check your school records. And she pulls up his school records. And he's like, oh, I'm third overall in everything. And I was like, I did not realize Zed was apparently crushing it at this school 24/7. Not only the football captain, amazing grades.
I did. But then his rank starts rapidly decreasing on the island.
Yeah, and Eliza's like, what's going on? How could this be happening? And he meets up with the principal, and they're like, all the aliens finished all of the courses at this school in 23 minutes. It only took them that long because it took them a while to figure out how to use a pencil sharpener. And it cuts to them figuring out how to use a pencil sharpener. And again, not a bad joke.
But why would the aliens be attending classes?
That's a great question. I don't hate the idea of them being like, we want to teach you, you know, some earth stuff or whatever while you're here.
But they wouldn't be counted. But why would that be counted? Right? They're not going to graduate.
They're not going to be here for the graduation. Listen, there are a lot of things in this movie that don't make sense that if you ask any amount of questions about, the whole thing
crumbles. They also own all of his sports records. I'm like, why is he allowed? Why is the alien allowed to record sports?
Yeah, like, are they enrolled in this school? Because if they are, then they shouldn't be able to compete in the cheer competition as another group.
Thank you.
You can't
that
be
actually,
both.
That all falls apart under the weight of its own mess. You're so right. Zed comes over to them and is like, hey guys, you're fucking making me look bad. I'm trying to get into college here.
Because Alan has just got like a group of people around him. He's like floating because he's got like lip gloss. First of all, these guys have like 17 different superpowers. They're super smart. They have
mind reading.
They can read minds. They can float.
They can change reality.
It's pretty crazy. And they never
I was going to get to this, but basically Zed comes over to the table and is like, hey guys, you're fucking me up. Like, I'm trying to get into this college and you're like bringing my grade score down. And they mind probe his physics teacher or whatever.
This was crazy.
And they then just change his grade. I'm like, are they allowed to just change the concepts of reality?
I didn't know what that was. Because like, yeah, so again, we were talking, normally Zed is apparently crushing it, but he's getting a D on this biology test and it's like, oh no, your answers are correct. Your teacher just doesn't know that you're looking at the brain from a zombie's perspective and not a human perspective. Here, we'll fix it. And they go in and like change the grade.
He should have gotten. Like, how could they do that?
How could they do? Can they control my, what is happening? Are they hacking something? I don't know.
No, because it's written down. It's not a fucking...
Well, the written paper we see, but then like it's an Excel spreadsheet. Yeah, it's an Excel spreadsheet.
Are they hacking like the grade system of the school?
Maybe. I don't know what's happening. But they feel bad because they know Zed's a good guy and he wants to help them and stuff. And so they're like, I'll tell you what. We will also help you. Oh, no, because they also ask him what is the most precious thing at Seabrook. And he's like, oh, Moonstone for sure.
They see the Moonstone on their little thing. Yeah. So they're like, we're going to use this guy to get to the Moonstone, or like,
and to pay you back for that information, we will help you fill out your application for the Exceptional Student Scholarship. And he's like, okay, great, cool, we're gonna get some real geniuses to help me out.
I love the one in Allie's line where he's like, thanks so much. He goes, it's not rocket science, but knowing rocket science won't hurt.
So after they agree, and Eliza looks it over later and is like, this looks great, did a great job, now you just have to do the home interview.
You have to watch Wyatt fail flirt with a robot.
Yeah, because his Moonstone messes with the technology, whatever. I know you care deeply about that, but oh, also we should mention him because he's there too, and he's gonna become important in a second for what I think is the funniest bit in the movie. Is Bonzo is of course there, who is Zed's sounding board, still not speaking anything in a way we can understand.
Yeah, I guess they were kind of screwed in the fact that we can't fully write Eliza out because his other friend doesn't speak human English.
Yeah, and like, look, we've talked about this multiple times about Bonzo being a very difficult character to parse. And just kind of not being a character.
Also, he's also dating the other.
He's dating Bree, which is why, because they had a thing through all the other movies, and I think they were official in this one, but they were only kind of like flirty in the last one.
The way that this didn't even register for me.
No, well, so this is the funniest joke in the whole thing. Is so then it cuts to like this cafe where Addison and Bree are chatting, you know, doing whatever, and Aspen comes up.
Aspen is saying like, "What is this feeling? Like, I feel like I have butterflies in my chest, and I'm so nervous. Like, yes. What is it?" And they're kind of explaining to them the concept of like a crush. Like,
yes, because you're feeling emotional. For the first, which like, I don't want to get into the question. How does their species reproduce? Is it must be a very, you know,
I think it's a very rigid system.
Very rigid system. Also, we raised this question with the werewolves, and I want to raise it here. Why are there no alien adults? We never see them.
I don't know.
Why are the children?
Her grandma.
Well, yes, but I'm saying on this ship. But yes, Addison and Bree explain to them, you've got a crush on somebody. That's so great. You shouldn't feel weird at all. Who is it? And they go, oh, it's a zombie. And Bree goes, oh, a zombie. That's great. And she goes, which one? She goes, is it Bonzo? He's taken. Addison, hold my glasses. And she's just so quick to defend her relationship.
She goes, hold my glasses.
Hold my glasses. And that's the thing. That's when her her voice falls out. And she's just like, hold my glasses. It's really freaking funny.
I actually laughed at that.
That was the hardest I laughed at all.
That annoying voice she puts on.
And just how quick of me that she gets, like, no one is stealing my zombie man.
But it turns out that they have a crush on Zed, and one of the ACs are in the back being like, you can't have a crush on her boyfriend. Like, durr.
Gag me with a spoon.
But Addison's like really nice about it.
Yeah, Addison, well, because she knows they don't understand. Is it like, oh, okay. The thing is, yes, Zed and I are in a relationship, and they just go like, well, relationships can end, right? And they're like, well, yeah, but that's not like, you don't really understand. They don't really come away from the conversation understanding the concept that's like, Zed is taken. You know, they, in Aspen's mind, like, there is a relationship there just by the nature of them having feelings for Zed. And I was like, oh, this is very interesting. Because, you know, in the last movie, we had that kind of like wolf honing in on things, and now we've got an alien honing in on things. What's gonna happen? Nothing. This really doesn't go anywhere.
Nothing, but also just like, I don't know, I just like how mature they both are about it, and they're very nice to
Addison. Oh yeah, Addison's great.
But also, if this was me in Addison's position, I would have beat the shit out of them.
just, but it's like they don't, it's like they don't understand. It's like a toddler being like, well, no, he's my boyfriend.
Let
like, don't
me help your ass understand. I'm gonna make it real clear with Mr. Fist and Mr. Foot. So get away from Zach.
I was hoping you were gonna come up with fun names for your fists.
The girl and the zombie. I love Zed. Get away from him.
But so that conversation ends kind of weird, but they're like, okay, we're not going to unpack that now because now it's cheer time, baby. Time for the height of
and
our
guess
society.
What? The aliens are amazing.
The aliens are amazing. Well, of course they are because they can do everything. They can literally float 10 feet in the air. Like, of course that's going to translate very well into cheerleading.
You're right.
Because, yeah, they're giving this amazing. They also all have, like, they're all wearing, like, you know, the same kind of, like, blue outfit for most of this, but then they put on this cool, like, futuristic-y, like, silver and blue cheerleading uniform.
I like that uniform.
I did too. It's really good. And they're just giving this amazing performance, and it just pans across like the entire cheer team, including Bucky, just being like, oh no, we can't beat this. Nobody can.
And then because they're all amazing at cheer, they then say, well, you need to attempt this crazy double hop Lindy move. And they're like, it's impossible. Nobody can do that. One of the Lacey's points to JC and goes, his face can't take another nose job, which I laughed at, which is such a savage joke.
That is pretty crazy, yeah. I actually don't think I noticed that. I also forgot that this double hop Lindy thing was happening until the very end, because they never, like...
I mean, just another thread that you can pick up. And at this point, we're carrying so many threads, I can't...
You can knit a sweater.
Yeah, a very messy sweater.
A very messy sweater, yes.
Then the aliens go to the Moonstone to investigate.
Yeah.
And to get Froyo.
Well, you have to remember, there's a strong Froyo line throughout all of these films. It's kind of a glue.
Made me laugh every time.
There are two glues that hold this town together. Cheerleading and Froyo. That is what this town is built
on. It runs on it.
It runs, literally. America runs on Duncan, but Seabook runs on Froyo. But yeah, and once night falls after practice, the aliens go to the town square to investigate the Moonstone as Zed tipped them off. And they're trying to sneak around because they know the werewolves do not want them poking around. Also, the werewolves put a force field around it. Did the werewolves always, could they always put force fields around
I'm also going to say one more thing on top of this is why this song and scene is so stupid. They go to the Moonstone. They take their little camera glass thing.
Luma lens.
The coordinates are not in the fucking Moonstone.
Yeah.
They're not there.
Yeah.
They don't do anything to the Moonstone. They don't steal it. They don't scratch it. They don't break it.
They take the force fields down. That's the one thing.
Whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Then there's a whole fucking sequence that takes up so much time of the wolves hunting for them because of what they did to the Moonstone. And I'm like, what did they do? Who cares?
They touched it.
The stakes could not be lower.
Well, that's... Okay, so this becomes a bigger problem for me as the movie goes on. Because at this point, like, I kind of get the point of the aliens not being like, oh, we shouldn't let them know that we're looking for something that is precious to them. I kind of get that. But if all you have to do is scan it, Who gives a shit? Like, you can freaking scan my ball sack if that's gonna get you. Because, like, I don't know if we set it up, because I don't know if they fully explained it yet. I think maybe it's...
But no, they said that at the end, that it's not just, like, downloading.
Yeah, but they only say that at the end. Okay. They only say that at the end.
Because at the end, they're like, you have to come with us. We can't just download the information from your brain. Like, you have to be in the ship. Like, have to take whatever it
that's
was.
That's a specific thing. They didn't say, like, we need to take it with us. Because then if they
had... But I think they would have had to. But they're just scanning it to know if it's in there. But if they're gonna make the ship fly there, they need to bring the thing with them.
Right, but I'm saying they don't tell us that until later. Because Addison and Zed run on the same assumption that I had, where it's like, good, you scan the thing, you got your coordinates, good to go. And they're like, actually, it's more complicated than that. It needs to come with us. And then I'm like, okay, so then I would understand if people were getting perturbed.
Also, they get discovered by the wolves after fucking with the Moonstone, and they're like, Mothership, beam us up. And RuPaul's like, stay your nasty ass down there. Learn some fucking respect, and then I'll beam you up.
Yeah, the Mothership is very sassy all of a sudden, and I was kind of like, that's not uninteresting, but...
And there's a whole long song about the werewolves being, you're not welcome. We're gonna get you.
Because they're chasing and hunting them
and
down.
I just wrote, I'm zoning out big time. The choreography is great.
The werewolf choreography
and
is always
Willa, I don't really like the wolves besides Willa. I'm gonna be honest. They then get beamed up to the mothership, but...
Because they said please. Because
they said please, and RuPaul respects a polite child. Addison gets beamed up as well.
Yes, which she's like very far away dancing on stage and gets beamed up for like no reason. Like she's confused and she's just like walking around the hall. The spaceship, by the way, really freaking boring. It's just white hallways.
I kind of like the set though. I like that it was like practical and like kind of retro-y future.
Yeah, it's just it didn't...
It's a little Tomorrowland style.
Yeah, it's just I would have liked maybe some more like colorful like things going on. I actually like the control panels, like a bunch of orbs you move around instead of just like a keypad. That's unique. But she's walking around and like, oh, I'm definitely not supposed to be here, but then runs into Zed.
Zed puts his hand on her shoulder and she turns around and just clocks him. She cold clocks him.
She does.
And I did like that. This is where they have the conversation about Aspen, where she's like, you know Aspen has a crush on you, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I do have universal appeal.
Yes. That was good. That was he delivers that very well.
He delivers it
but,
so
no,
well.
Because it's not just that. Is like she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, because Aspen said that they wanted to like learn more about Seabrook one on one or something like that. And Aspen's like, oh, that makes sense. And he's like, what do you mean? She goes,
they have a crush on
you. They're trying to spend more time with you. They have a crush on you. No, they're trying to spend more time with you. And he goes, huh? Oh, I do have that universal bit. Like just that immediate realization to like, I am that charming. That's good. He does it well.
I love him.
But then they find them and they're just like, what are you, Addison, what are you doing here? And she's like, I don't know. I'm also confused. And they're like, all right, well, anyway, we trust you just as much as we trust Zed. That's fine. Anyway, we're going to reveal to you the actual mission of why we're here.
Now they reveal it after apropos of nothing.
Entirely. Good job saying apropos.
I did it.
You got there. And they're just like, because also they weren't planning on telling her, but they're like, you're here. Might as well.
Why belly up? And also, I like that Allie's argument that she's just like really angry. Once her, like, Allie's whole thing is that she's like, I'm just in harmony, but in a super hostile way.
Yeah, because they're like, just to be specific, like the influx of emotions they all have has brought out Alan's competitiveness, like to compete with Zed. Allie's like mean
anger,
and then
Aspen's horniness.
Aspen's horny for it, baby.
Also, by the way, Aspen lands some really good jokes here where they're like, I'm sorry, Zed, like I'm breaking up with you. Like this, my crush is over. And he's like, oh, but Aspen goes, we'll always have the invasion.
Yeah, great, very good. That's why I'm saying Aspen does a great job. They try to kind of be like, no, you don't understand. You never had a relationship. And they just kind of are like, we're just going to let it go. Just let it go and we're going to move on. And so they explain to Zed and Addison that we're looking for our home because our home got destroyed by environmental destruction.
Yeah, it sounds like global warming.
I immediately wrote down, I was like, oh God, is this going to become a global warming message? Because I really don't want to see
this. We can't put another message.
I don't want to see Disney Channel try and tackle that inside, you know, a racism and immigration message they already have been doing for 3 movies.
Also, their computer, they're like crazy. What is that guy from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Zordon.
They're like Zordon computer stops working.
Do you think Zordon is a computer?
Well, he's in a tube.
He's a wizard.
But their computer's in a tube like Zordon.
I'm gonna let you have it. Continue with what you were saying.
But their Zordon tube computer isn't working, and it's like not like they're trying to show them the video of their alien scout that we've seen before, which says the most precious thing, but it's not working. And Zed's like, why don't you just bang it? You know, my TV doesn't work, I just bang it. And they're like, this is like priceless alien tech. Like, I can't just bang it.
And then he just whacks it. And then they're like, oh, that fixed it. Good job. And then guys, get ready to get the whole kit and caboodle dumped on you immediately.
This does happen so quick.
And just, you know, no subtlety, no buildup. It's just, here's the explanation you've been waiting 3 movies for. So, Emma, you've been hanging on pins and needles. Would you like to say it?
So, the alien scout, as I said earlier, kind of gave away the ghost, is Addison's grandmother. She takes off her welding helmet, is revealed to be her grandma.
Who we've never seen.
Never seen.
But she just looks at her and is like, grandma? What?
Grandma, she recognizes her. She has white hair like Addison. She says, because she went out of contact with her people for so long, she was a scout. She landed on the planet. So, she is like, I found the coordinates to Utopia. I'm storing them in my most precious thing. We then see the rest
of Seabrook's most precious thing.
And then she's going into how she found this guy named Eli, and like he hid her from everyone else. And her hair was blue, but when you lose contact with the hive mind, you lose like your alien spark powers and your hair goes white. And like Addison has that white hair. And she's like, so we had a daughter and named her something. And Addison's like, Missy. That's my mom's name. And then she takes off the helmet and realizes Addison is an alien, half alien,
part alien.
Because her grandma is an alien.
Correct. And they're like, oh, snap, that's pretty cool. Like, yeah, they're very kind of like, oh, neat. You're
awesome.
You're one of us. And they give her a Luma lens.
No, they all hug and they have like there's a moment where she's like, I know who I am. And it's like this emotional moment. And then Zed goes to hug Aspen and they go, we have too much history.
Yeah, no.
That's so funny.
Aspen's really good. Although, so I feel like we talked about this a lot.
But they give her the Luma lens to like be like, if you are an alien, this will like work.
You can connect with it and you can join our hive mind and all that stuff. And it doesn't because, you know, she tries it for literally like 2 seconds and it doesn't work. And they're like, all right, well, get off our ship. You're not one of us. Sorry.
Well, she runs away all sad.
So
grow up. You fit in just fine. What's wrong with you?
This is what I want to talk about. We've said this in every movie, but I think it really hits me here. All the time, Addison's goddamn arc is, I need to find a place where I belong. And I need to know about me. And I'm like, girl.
You're the queen of this town.
You belong in Seabrook. I'm not saying that because, like, obviously you feel weird about your white hair or whatever. But it's like, everyone in this town loves you. I get that you don't understand what's going on with your weird white hair or whatever. But that doesn't really impact like the place you belong or whatever.
She has like no friends and nobody likes her, and I'm like, you are quite literally running this town.
Yeah, like literally in her opening like song part of the or the beginning of the whatever is like her being like, yeah, we'll go to college and maybe a girl with white hair can find a place where she belongs.
And I was like, you belong just fine.
You're fine. You fit in fine.
There's a crazy conversation that takes place in the hallway of the spaceship where she runs out and Zed chases her. And she's like, I'm going to have to continue going through life totally alone. And I'm like, okay, you're super hot, super cool BF is right there. Fuck you for that.
Also,
you now
know your mom is also half alien. Yeah. So it's like, you've gotten some kind of connection
also,
like, there.
For her to say that to Zed's face when like he has been there for her through all of this bullshit, I was like, that's insane. And then he then responds with, you have to go to Mountain College even if I don't get in. And I go, was that ever up for debate? Was she not gonna go to college if he didn't get in? That was never once brought up as an option.
What would she do
that's my point. Did they ever like thread that in and I missed it? But I was like, I always thought the plan was she's going no matter what. She wants him to go with her, but like,
and he wants to go and break the monster barrier.
Yeah, but if he doesn't get in, she's still going to college.
Yeah, well, I think it's because like I think it goes back into the stuff from their song where it's like, are we gonna be able to stay together if we're uncertain about what's gonna happen to our future? You know, I don't know.
I thought that was very presumptive of him. I was like, I think she's going no matter what, babes. But I think we should take a break here because things I think pick up pretty rapidly after this.
Oh yeah, all the threads are starting, and I'm not to come together. They're starting to run though.
The sweater's unraveling.
The sweater is unraveling, and all the threads are going in different places. So yeah, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Beam me up.
Beam me up, Alan.
RuPaul.
Beam me up, RuPaul. Mother. We gotta protect the moves of the night. Set up perimeters here, right now. Move our defenses there. Get down. Extraterrestrials all around. They're hovering over our town. Watch out. Oh, falling from the stars. A distant galaxy. Oh, we're not sure who they are. Friend or enemy. Now we really know that we're not alone. It's kind of scary though, but it's kind of cool. It's an alien invasion. Can't believe my eyes, is this really real life? Don't know if we should be standing here or running for our lives. I can't just. Alright, welcome back to Earth. That's what Will Smith says, right?
I have no idea.
He says welcome to Earth, but I'm doing welcome back.
I've seen that movie in like 15 years.
Yeah, but you know of all things Will Smith.
I do.
Did you see performed at Coachella?
Yeah, in Men in Black. That's honestly the only time I've ever been like, damn, I wish I was at Coachella.
I kind of wish I was there for that, too.
I would have lost my goddamn mind.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Anyway.
I love that song.
I mean, who doesn't? I mean, we're children of the 2000s.
Wish that song was in this movie.
I mean, you heard it at the bread now.
What if we just played Men in Black?
Just put Men in Black. That actually would be so funny. I would pay to see every listener's confused face as the Men in Black theme started playing in the middle. Like, I guess they're doing an alien thing and not explain until they got to this part of the podcast.
But anyway, we cut to Madison looking at photos of her grandma. These adorable photos of this woman we've never seen here to this point. And at this point, I'm like, I still think Addison is the most precious thing.
For the record, I'm going to just throw it out there and say that it didn't need to be her grandma. It should have just been her mom.
Yeah, why?
I guess because the mom would have answered too many questions about what's going on with these aliens or something like that. But I have a lot of concerning points to bring up later on about what's going on, how the mom fits into all of this, because it really pisses me off.
But now we have Zed's interview.
Well,
because the mom comes in and catches Addison. And she's like, what are you doing? And Addison's like, nothing. And I'm like, this would be a great moment to ask your mom about if her grandma was an alien.
Yes, because her mom was an alien. Well, she asks her, like, where did grandma come from? And she's like, Seabrook. Born and raised. No more questions needed. I think she's more struggling with, like, should she tell her kind of a thing? Because now, because, you know, the lens thing didn't work for her, so she doesn't feel like it matters that they're aliens because, like, they don't fit in with them anyway, so who gives a shit? But yeah, in Zombie Town, everybody, zombies, werewolves, like, the whole student body is basically gathered for this interviewer to arrive to meet with Zed and his family, and like they're like, okay, we've got an hour to get ready, but they show up early. Then it cuts to the main three werewolves like hyping up Zed by the water. First, I don't know why they're by the water.
He also has a great line delivery here where it's like, I can do this, like, or not, probably not, we'll see.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing, is they're trying to like bolster his spirits, but I was like, why are the werewolves helping you out? Why wouldn't your friends be there?
Because his friends are a computer screen.
That's, yeah, you're not wrong. Well, also they have a lot of shit to get together.
One of his friends is a computer, one of them can't speak English, so.
That's accurate. But like, they've got to make a whole banner. There's a large puppet of him that they make at a certain point. It's pretty impressive, honestly.
Okay, this was my favorite
this
song.
Is the best musical
this
number.
Fucking
this
rocks.
Is the best musical number in my opinion.
It's called Exceptional Zed. Yes. And it goes, I'm Exceptional Zed. Da, 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 da.
Those are the only words you know.
I don't know the rest words, but it, It's like him getting himself hyped up through the course of it. You can see him like gaining confidence.
Because he needs to prove to his lady that he's exceptional. Yeah. He is an exceptional student. Choreo is great. The whole cast gets involved. It's really, really fun.
This song, as I was watching it multiple times, I got full body chills.
Are you sure you didn't have like a fever or something while this movie was?
I don't know. I was like, why do I have chills? Then clapped. I was like,
stood up and clapped.
When the song ended, I went... like as if they would hear me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I've watched this in a very vulnerable place emotionally, and it was just like so sweet because like I don't know, I have like a crisis of confidence. I'm like seeing him gain his confidence back and like seeing her give him the confidence, I just thought it was so beautiful. I was like, I am exceptional.
Not to give you guys too much of a background in our lives. I saw Emma yesterday, so I'm really confused what happened within the 24 hours since I saw Emma that she was like, I've really been going through a lot. Zombies 3 saved me.
A lot. This movie
saved me. This movie saved me. To your point, it's so the whole number is just everyone hyping her up, hyping him up. It's,
I need to be hyped up.
It's, yeah, like the mayor comes out. This is also for the record the first time we talked about this in the last episode. The first time they actually drop Addison's last name is Wells because her mom's Mayor Wells.
I'm Mayor Wells and I approve this.
Yes. And there's like, we get the football coach again, comes in with his mom who moved out of her basement. The energy is great. Just the vibes are impeccable.
It's the best version of that talking singing. Lay out exposition where it's like, I don't approve, I deserve this.
And it's very quick. And it's not like
exposition, all those lines where it's like, you speak zombie and that's a dead language. They're all jokes.
Like, yeah, just a little bit. It's good.
Love it. I'm going to listen to it on my drive home.
I know you. And many times after that, let's be real.
It's going to be a new confidence. It's going to be a new hype up anthem.
Yeah. Just Emma in like the back of like a boxing room match, like in the locker room. Just punching the air. But yeah, so then he goes in for the interview.
And it's at his house. His dad's putting slime in a teacup.
What? Okay, so what? No, not only a teacup, it's like a gross crack teacup. And I was like, has society not progressed to the point where you can get them normal cups?
Like, I know, I'm like, Zed's taking human biology. Like, can't we get like them some normal cups?
Like, I get, like, they put like he puts like a thing down and it's like a zombie delicacy where it's made with like salmon guts or something like that. That I kind of get, you know, zombies, they eat gross food. Like, he drinks a soda earlier that's brain flavored or something like that. But it's literally just like a cup of slime, but it's not even a functional cup. Like, why are we doing this weird zombies make things out of trash?
I had the same thought. But also, this is one of the best jokes. It's not even a joke, but it's just like they're like talking to the college guy. And also, Addison comes with him, which I thought was really cute. And she's like helping with
the interview. Yeah, because the college person is like, you've been accepted already. Why don't you come with us and join? And I was like, that seems like not the point of this visit. But
she's
okay.
Like, they're helping. And like, I actually thought it was really cute when like she says something like kind of offensive and like Addison gets offended, but Zed's like, it's fine, it's fine. But this college admissions woman has the best line delivery in the whole movie. Where she goes, that's great and that's perfect and like your test scores are all in. Our biggest concern is just you could turn into a monster at any time. A vicious like killing monster at any time.
You could kill all of us.
You should kill all of us at any time. She has to like throw it over her shoulder and it's so funny the way she says it. And then he's like, no, not a problem. Like I've totally got control of that. Like
yeah, the Z band. And then we saw, and what I thought they were gonna bring us up at the end of the last movie, he had to take his Z band off and was still able to control it. Like, because, you know,
he loved Addison.
Or something like that. Or it was also that, like, Eliza...
Something like that. Shut the fuck up.
Well, no, it was also, like, Eliza said that maybe zombies have evolved to where they don't need Z-bands.
That
maybe?
We left that.
There's a lot of... We also left... Do you not remember the great alpha thing from the last one? They just never tell us who that's supposed to be. I was hoping for maybe a little closure on that, and this one, of course not.
If it's not about Zed or Addison, I don't give a flying fuck.
You've made that pretty clear, I think.
My brain immediately deletes all that info. I said in the top on my notes, I don't know any of the werewolves lore. I forgot it all already.
To be fair, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But
anyway,
as the interview goes on,
her alien powers. Her alien powers start kicking in.
Yeah, because she goes to like touch him, and gets
she's shocking him.
And she's like, oh, I must have, you know, dragged my feet on the carpet or whatever. But it's, you know, stardust power.
It's her stardust power. It's interacting with his Z band and making him zombie out, and they have to like run to the bathroom. And she keeps trying to like touch him, be like, oh my god, and he just keeps getting more and more shocked.
That's the thing. At a certain point, they realize what's going on. She just keeps touching him, and I was like, no, guys.
And I called it right the fuck here. If this means they can't touch, I'm going to kill myself.
No, it works out. In your favor.
I was like, I'm going to need to be institutionalized if they can't touch each other for the rest of this film. Still, it went too long with them not being able to touch each other. That's my favorite part of these movies, was watching them touch each other.
It's just watching the zombie pick her up with big, strong arms.
It's like Travis Kelce on the field of the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
I was like, if they can't hug each other. Why am I watching this?
You and I are such different people. It's really staggering.
But her spark is making him zombie out.
And he like plows through a wall and ends up back where the interviewer is. And so the interviewer freaks out and is like, oh, zombie, I'm out of here, and runs out. And Zed has to like regain his full composure and chase after her. And then I actually really liked this, is he does a really cute little reprise of Exceptional Zed to her, saying that like, yeah, it's not just me that's exceptional. We're all exceptional because we've
had— So are my family and friends.
Yeah, and you know, they all stand by me, and we've all been through so much together. Like, we're all a little bit exceptional, you know? And the interviewer just is like, we'll take it into consideration, and then leaves. Oh, but it was a good little note to end on. I liked it. I like that.
It's literally cheer competition time already, I think.
Yes, because Addison says she can't wait to tell the aliens and her mom at the cheer competition. I was like, why wait? You're figuring out you're part alien. Like, what is the delay here, girl?
And then something insane happens at the cheer competition where they find one of the aliens' little things.
Yeah, so,
and, like, Bucky sees the wolves, and Bucky find the Lumen lens.
Luma. Oh my god, we totally skipped over the whole thing about this goddamn competition. In the message that they fixed.
Oh, yeah.
In the message they fixed that the—
I forgot.
Where we the grandma, like, while explaining her story, says that she made the Seabrook cup as like a, you know, symbol of everything that's great about Seabrook. And it's just sitting on the stage. Like, the competition hadn't started. And I was like, can't you guys just go scan it real quick? Like,
but they turn this into this narrative. They think that the Seabrook cup is where the coordinates are.
Yeah.
Because it's written in alien language on it.
Which, no. So that was the thing, right? She's giving this whole speech about find the most precious thing in Seabrook. The most precious thing in Seabrook to me is encapsulated in this trophy. And then everyone's like, I think it might be the trophy. You know, and then Addison has to have a moment where she goes, you know, it could be, I bet the coordinates are in the trophy. And then she looks up and sees, oh yeah, it's covered in the alien language. And I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty good tip. I thought we were on the same page already with this gang, that it was—
why is this taking us so long?
Yeah, also, can't you just get a guy with a ladder to just pop that down real quick, give it to your friends, they scan it.
But no, the narrative then becomes that they have to win it.
They have to win it. They have to take it off of the shelf themselves, I guess. And Bucky, yeah, comes up to like mess with them or whatever, be like, the cup is mine, you'll never get it. Blech. And they leave. I don't know how they leave one of these Luma lenses. It seems like they're pretty glued on them most of the time. They leave it sitting out, and he goes to pick it up. They had used it before to, basically speaking of Men in Black, neuralize one of the guards in front of the moonstone. And so he like is quickly neuralizing himself over and over in like 1 second intervals, and the wolves go and see, and they get in contact with Eliza over her robot, and are like, hey, what is this weird alien tech? And so she hacks into it remotely, because of course she can do that or whatever,
and she can see all their mind probes. So she sees Bucky, and it's all just
because they've been going around scanning people's minds to find the most precious
and then
thing.
She sees Wyatt's mind probe, and it's all her.
Yeah, that's rough, buddy.
Oh, this dumb romantic plot line nobody cares about. And now
that's a rough way to get
but now they're just pissed because they lie. Like, nothing, there's no other stakes other than the wolves and Bucky. And
I thought they were going to be upset about the invasion of privacy.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were.
Which is part of it, for sure. But it's like, it's that they see the scout message is in someone's memory, I guess. Or it's in like the master plan file or something like that. And they're like, they lie, they're going to take what's most precious to us, blah. And I was like, I mean, I would be mad about getting my brain scanned without my consent.
I mean, they just totally blew up Wyatt's spot.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care that much about Wyatt, but that's rough. That's a rough way to get outed into the girl you like. But also, like, I had this realization when everyone's mad, I was kind of like, why don't just let everyone know at this point? Zed and Addison know, and I feel like if Zed and Addison know, they could tell them, oh guys, no, if it's really important about you finding a new home planet to go to, this utopia, everyone will be more than happy to help you find the most precious thing in all of Seabrook, so then you can, you know, get your coordinates or whatever. Because again, they haven't necessarily said that they have to take it with them or whatever.
Absolutely.
Just that they're looking for. So I'm like, what is this weird contrivance? This is what I was talking about, where the movie starts to be like a house of cards, where it's like any bit of logical thought as to the goings on of this plot would make the whole thing fall apart, at least in my opinion. But so while one of the other cheerleading squads is going up, the Eels or whatever, Zed gets a phone call on his really gross zombie telephone. Again, I don't know why.
Why is it so steampunk and disgusting?
I get that they're going for like an aesthetic with the zombies, but at this point when you guys are all friends, can't you just give my guy an iPhone?
Can't Addison give him a nice phone?
I like freaking...
it literally has a 10-foot tall antenna.
I know, like Eliza is rigged up a whole iPad robot for herself. You can't give him a phone with
but
a screen.
But it's still ugly and steampunk.
Well, yeah,
like,
I get
it's still
that.
Not, it's not like sleek and silver.
I know, but it's just, it's confusing. But he gets a phone call.
He got in.
He did it. That was really easy in the grand scheme of things. And then he says that they're even encouraging more monsters to apply. And I was like, wait. Isn't it too late? Like, isn't the appliant period now? Like, how can they do that? Also, are there monsters outside of Seabrook?
I don't think
at
so.
At the end, it seems like there are. If you watch
well,
that,
there's
if you watch that animated,
Jesus.
If you watch that animated. animated portion.
But then, because Zed has exited the gym, what happens when the wolves and them get pissed? They say, have your dad call the Z Patrol.
Correct.
Bucky calls Z Patrol.
His uncle.
Uncle, whatever the fuck. Anyway, basically then, Milo Manheim, Zed is like in the hallway and he sees the Z Patrol
roll up
because he's not in the gym. He was taking that phone call and he's like, fuck, they're gonna come for the aliens. I need to tell them not to get on stage and perform. They need to run away. Otherwise, they're gonna like get captured. I didn't really get because we've learned that the Z Patrol is useless against the aliens.
And also, they don't do that. They still remain in the building. They just don't go on stage. And I don't get why. Like, because if anything, you'd think, like, them being in the middle of the performance, maybe the Z Patrol wouldn't come for them immediately. But I don't know what Zed is like, I'm gonna get you to safety, beam up to your ship,
maybe. I thought they were gonna beam up.
They don't do that. Again, this is where things start to get really weird.
And now there's a weird Gabriella ballad from Meg Donnelly.
I didn't hate this. I wouldn't say it was Gabriella.
It picks up at the end, and then it becomes the performance song.
Which I think is a mistake.
That's a mistake too.
I like it when it's just, because I think Zed, like, lets her know that, like, hey, now it's all on you. Your team has to win this cheer competition in order to win the cup, and then you can give it to the aliens to scan for their coordinates. And I was like, oh, okay, thank God, they're gonna win then. It's gonna be fine. Like, as the viewer, I was like, of course they're gonna win. They're the Mighty Shrimp. We know this. But then she goes into this whole song about, like, yeah, I can do this. I got it. Just like looking.
Looking
into the mirror. Yeah, cause, you know, she knows about herself now or whatever.
She's also owning her alien powers.
Correct.
She's basically glowing the initial routine.
Right, but she's backstage doing in the makeup room or whatever. It really works, but then it like goes out and is like, yeah, the song of their cheer performance, and it doesn't work as one of those because like no one else on the stage really feels involved in it. It feels like it's like just her.
She does the crazy move with her alien powers. This is the effect you were saying looked really bad.
It looks so bad because it's like they just the double Lindy hop or whatever, yeah. Full Lindy, I don't care. They just like freaking, she goes up in the air and they just bend her back and flip, and it doesn't look like any move that could reasonably pull off.
Let's not waste time on it. Anyway, they win the cup.
Yes, as I said, obviously they're gonna win.
They win. This bored me so much. Like, I don't even know what happened. Like, then they like try to give the cup to the aliens, but the wolves and Bucky are like, they're gonna steal our cup. And there's like a fight.
No, Bucky says, oh, they're gonna steal my cup. It's my cup.
Oh my God.
It's not really a fight. It's just that it's again, this is where I'm talking about, like, things fall apart. Cause like everyone's chasing them. They're gonna take our cup and they're running out. And like, they're like, why are Zed and Addison backing the aliens? They're betraying us. And I'm like, guys, literally just say, hey gang, 1 minute, hand it to the aliens. Yeah. Be like, can you scan this real quick? And then take it back. That's all that needs to happen.
You're right. I think that's why this was so stupid and
boring. It's really stupid.
But then all of a sudden Meg Donnelly gets an alien costume with blue hair.
She does, because she also apparently didn't tell them until like right now that she managed to like the powers were latent. Oh, hang on, no, we do need to mention it because I actually really really liked this. When the aliens are being costed by the werewolves, Willa says, we're gonna rip them apart, wolves ferocious, whatever. And then Aspen goes, what is she saying? And Addison turns to them and says, means she wants to rip your heart out. And and Aspen just goes, she can keep it. And then I was like, Aspen, how horny?
I think Aspen and Will are a couple of
these. They are.
Right?
That's a thing. They set up Aspen. They're very horny in this movie. But I was kind of like,
that was the emotion that Aspen
unlocked
the horniness.
And I was kind of like, oh.
I would be horny for Willa. She's the hottest person in this fucking movie.
One, yes. But also I was just like, I'm kind of here for this, actually. Good job, Aspen. And like, there are multiple times where they just give little like looks at each other. And then at the end, they sing like a little part where it's like, we can do stuff. With you. And then I was like, wait, okay, did you just pay that off or not? Because it doesn't feel like you did.
It's, they LeFou'd it a little bit.
If in Zombies 4 they're not a defined couple, Disney,
it's
I'm coming for you.
Basically, they do scan the cup. Guess what, folks? Not the fucking
not in there.
They realize, because the mom comes up to talk to Addison in her new blue getup, and she's like, grandma always called you her most precious thing.
Also, the mom knew the whole time.
By the way.
Which pissed me off with the mom, and I'll get into the big one later, but it's like, you have let your daughter think that she is a genetic freak in this goddamn town this entire film series.
They also waste the whole fucking movie where she thought she was a werewolf. Cut that shit out.
Like, literally, you didn't even have to say, hey, dog.
The better answer is just having the mom not know either.
100%. But all you had to do is, hey, dog.
Dog?
I don't know why I said that. hey, Oof. Addison, you know how you have this white hair? It's actually like a genetic condition in our family. Don't feel that weird about it. We'll get you a wig. It's no big deal. That's all you gotta do. And then if she wants to do the white hair later, whatever. But you be treating this white hair thing like it is...
Yeah, she treated her like a freak.
Yeah, the parents...
But the mom has the white hair too. We see it.
That's what kills me, Emma, is that they reveal
I
that.
I thought he, like, skipped a generation. And then when she takes off, like, I was like, are you kidding?
That blow... We're gonna... It's mind-boggling. Like, that's why I was... Because I literally joked to myself while watching this, that I was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if, like, the mom has the white hair too? And then I stopped myself from making that note because I was like, well, they can't do that because the mom and the dad were so against her revealing the white hair. They treated her like a literal freak for it. So they can't have the mom also have the white hair. And they freaking do it. I don't understand how that got through. But yeah, the mom is like, you know, I've always known, and also your grandma always said, you were her most precious thing. And they're like, oh, wait a second. And they put their little scan thing towards that. And they're like, yep, it's in the girl's DNA. It's in the DNA. Why didn't we think to check there at first? And I'm like, how did you code something into DNA? Whatever.
But this is also when it's revealed that she has to go with them.
Yes,
they can't
finally
just scan it out of the computer. Because Ed's like, great, okay, just take it out of her and like scan it and then go.
You're yeah, and everyone, there. They're like, it's fine, everybody. They got their coordinates. It's cool. And then they're like, ugh, slight little problem there. The code is always changing. You know, it's dynamic. So in order for us to find the Utopia, Addison's actually going to have to come with. And Zed is like, nope, hard pass.
My note here is, are they going to break up? But she's going to go with the aliens. I'm going to kill myself.
I thought they were going to break up. I genuinely did.
After
that first song where they were like, Jennifer's like, we're only 17. Like, can we commit? Like, what's going to happen to us? I was like, oh, this, like, it's at the base.
They're setting up for her not to go to college and for them to break up. And I was ready to riot.
I haven't seen the film, but I know of its reputation. I thought they were Teen Beach 2-ing us, where they break up.
Do they break up in Teen Beach 2?
I only remember that because you told me about it. Which, yes, we still have to do Teen Beach 2 at some point. But, yeah, I thought they were saying, but I feel like it was also because I know Zombies 4 is coming now.
I thought they were going to do some woke-ass, stupid, liberal, woke, mom message. I'm sick of the woke mom thing. <Yeah. laughs> I thought they were going to do some bullshit nonsense where it's like, they're too young to be in a relationship and they're going to break up and find themselves. And I said, fuck that. I don't want that in my zombies.
No, I thought they
get
were,
that out of
I
my
just
zombies.
Thought that they were, because I knew Zombies 4 was coming, I thought they were going to break them up in this one so then they have to come
See,
back
I
together.
I didn't know Zombies 4 was coming. I thought this was going to be the end.
Wait, when did you find out Zombies 4 was coming?
As the end credits rolled and I was on McDonald's and
Oh, I knew about it before it started. Again, it's been a day since, whatever.
I hate that they can't touch it. Sell this again.
Also, I was mad the mom didn't get a cool alien outfit. I would have given my mom the Luma lens and let her get a cool alien outfit.
But as she's packing up, like, this is when we see the mom's white hair.
Yeah, because then, like, Addison is like, yeah, okay, I'll go with you. It's fine. And Zed is like, no, don't do that. You have to go to college. And she's like, no, Zed,
I have to be with my people.
These are my people. And I'm like, this whole goddamn town is full of your people.
You just met these people.
Well, no, to be fair, I get her going for the nature of, like, these people don't have a place to live. And if I can go with them and take them as people.
Then how is she going
to
get back?
They literally
said, like, maybe another lifetime. Like, they'd be separated forever.
No, but I'm saying, I understand her, the importance of the task. It's not like she's just going off with them for no reason. It's this whole species needs her to find a new place to live. So I understand her being like, yeah, I'm going to give it up to help these people because, you know, they explain the white hair away. But yeah, then it comes to her packing to go the next morning. And the mom and dad come in and they're like, oh, we're going to miss you so much. We don't want you to go. And the dad is like, I'm going to make the whole Z Patrol stop you so you can't go. And she's like, no, don't do that. It's my decision, whatever. And he's like, all right, fine. And the mom's like, hey, also, guess what? It takes off her. And then I was just like, you can't do that after you berated your daughter into wearing a wig. And she just like, grandma said it'd be better if you hid, if we all hid. And so we were trying to do that for you.
I don't care.
You just don't care because they can't kiss and sing anymore.
Yeah, I'm done with this movie.
Yeah, there's so much more shit we have to get through. You can't just be done, Emma. That's the thing, is me.
Look at that short. I clogged
me,
out.
Me, as the viewer, I was sitting there, I was like looking at the
timer. I was
looking at the timer, and I was like, there's a lot more time. I feel like we're reaching the end of this film.
The third act really hangs on.
Also, the werewolves aren't happy that she's leaving because they're like, you know, Addison's part of our pack. And I was like, is she? Because I thought that was a big part of the last movie, is that you thought she was part of your pack, and then she turned out she wasn't.
Yeah, like, and I said, Willa, same girl. I don't want her to go either. This is bogus. I hate this. And they all come to say goodbye to her. And she says to Bree, bye to my bestie. And then Bree says, you're my extraterrestrial.
That's what killed me. That was the one. That was the kind of shit I hate.
At
the beginning when I was trying to think of something that I hated, that was the line, was the extraterrestrial. It was terrible.
Also, it's so sweet because when they're all coming to say goodbye, Zed just packs his bags and he's like, I'm going to come with.
And they are like, you can't, you will die. You will die in the cold vacuum of space.
But he's such a good boyfriend.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was down to give up his... After he had worked through everything, I did think it was a sweet moment. But also, speaking of dying, they don't know if they're going to be able to take off on this planet.
No, at this point, they're like, this is a suicide mission.
Yeah, they're like, our ship... Because while... During the altercation with the werewolves, like, sent out, like, a moonstone...
Force field?
A moonstone blast, which interfered with their alien tech. And they're like, so our ship is damaged. We only have, like, a 70% chance... A 30% chance. 70% the ship, like, blows up or can't break Earth's atmosphere or something like that. But then who shows up driving a truck... But Bonzo, because he's got his driver's license. Guess what?
Like, way to flex.
Yeah, audience, I know we haven't mentioned that at all, but Bonzo's been studying for his driver's license. But yeah, so because...
Then they decide they can fix the alien ship and it won't have to be a suicide mission if they use Moonstone powers, Z-band tech.
Yeah, because you need an adapter, which is apparently the Z-bands. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, the Moonstone's going to power the ship and the adapter's the Z-band.
No.
Luke, if you waste 5 seconds on this, I'll kill you.
It's just a metaphor.
I'll kill you with a knife.
It's a metaphor for they all need to work.
It's not a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
It's stupid.
So they all get beamed up to the ship and they just freaking are like running jumper cables through this like alien ship.
It's truly just people running cords around.
It really is. Oh, also...
I wrote, I'm so bored by this.
Also, Eliza said, likes Wyatt, too. And he goes like, oh, woo. And I was like, boo.
Jalopy car noise. I don't care. She's a robot.
So they get it all hooked up, and it doesn't work.
But this... I want to just be clear that this is why I think this movie doesn't work. As someone that has liked the past two zombie movies, this is away from the core of the story, which should be Addison and Zed. This is... I don't give a flying fuck about any of this.
Emma, I really... You think you just wanted this movie to be Addison and Zed making out and singing songs for like 35 minutes would have been enough. I'm just saying you're acting like oh, this movie has to have plot and stuff going on.
I'm saying the plot of the other movies was their relationship. It was like a Romeo and Juliet story at first, and then it was like the will they break up, the going to prawn together, that getting in the way of their relationship. Like, yes, this feasibly is going to like get in the way of a relationship, but this whole movie was like a MacGuffin hunt, and then now she's just leaving, and now we're pulling jumper cables around, and I'm like, this is not what this movie should be about. Tech and adapters. Nobody gives a shit.
Well, for what it's worth, the adapters doesn't work because like they it's so hard to explain this. It's like
this is nonsense.
They get it all hooked up and it doesn't work, and then Eliza is like, oh, we need a like transition thing, and they go, well, normally the aliens would die because we don't like the moonstone energy or whatever, but because you're half human, you are the bridge between all of it, girl. So should they just hand her like a pair of jumper
cables? A human jumper cable.
They just get her like a pair of jumper cables and they have to like pass the energy
and she's just getting fucking electrocuted.
She's getting electrocuted on screen. It's really weird.
But then guess what?
Zed helps. Yeah, she can't do it because it's too much. And then Zed's like, here, I'll help. And they're like, you're gonna die.
Oh, you're gonna fry.
And he's like, it's fine.
Like, I can take it. And he holds her hand. And then they do it together.
Yeah, it's like freaking Thor.
He is willing to die for her.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But
I can't even get a text back.
But he's a zombie, so I don't know how valuable that is. Like,
I love it.
I don't know how much that means.
Oh, yeah, he's already dead.
Kind of. It's weird because they do get older and stuff. They're kind of like more like mutants than zombies, but whatever.
And then
they charge the ship up. And also despite the ship being fixed, they still need to leave right away. So everyone's gotta like run for the teleport pads to beam down.
Yeah, they're all of a sudden on this crazy running clock.
Yeah, RuPaul starts that clock and they got 10 seconds. They got the countdown
and
going.
So they beam everyone else down and then Zed's standing there alone and he has to say goodbye to Addison seemingly forever. And then Milo Mannheim fully conjures tears and I say, I'm going to throw up. He's crying. He's fully crying. And then it's like, maybe someday we'll like meet another guy.
No, that was good.
Wasn't that good?
That was good. What is my note exactly?
And they fully kiss on the mouth.
They kissed on the mouth in the last movie.
I know.
They say maybe our paths will cross again. And he goes, someday, which is a callback to their song for the first movie.
Someday.
Yes, which was good. That's good writing.
I like that.
Gotta give that to them.
And then he gets beamed down. I say, well, this sucks ass.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay, man, what an interesting note to end this film on. I can't wait to see how this develops in the next movie. And then I looked and it's still got like 15 minutes left in the bar. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess more shit's gotta happen. Because yeah, the aliens leave. They're gone.
And they do this girl and the zombie reprise from the first movie where every single person is kind of looking at the sky going, girl. and a zombie.
The thing that's weird about having the girl and the zombie is everyone singing that. I think it should have just been Zed and Addison. Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's weird to have the werewolves all going, a girl and a zombie. Like, Bree and Bonzo, I kind of get it because they're also a girl and a zombie. Like, that made sense. But it's like the whole cast felt a little weird. Also, he's singing it with his sister. And I'm like, this is the romantic song he was singing with his love interest. Why is the sister joining in? It was weird is all I'm saying.
The girl and someday
it would have been better.
The girl and the zombie changed the whole town. And now the girl's gone.
For how long, we don't know. Because then it cuts to they've been gone for a certain amount of time.
I said, if this movie's over, I'm going to commit a crime.
It's not, sadly. I wish it was, because that's a good note to end it on. But no, now it's graduation. I don't know how close to graduation they
were.
And
I say, if I have to see that for about one more fucking time, I'm going to lose my mind. Because the robot rolls up to graduation.
Oh, yeah.
She still has
internship.
She
couldn't even get off work.
She couldn't get off work.
For her own graduation. What is the... This is a bad company.
This is child labor.
Like, I get that Eliza's smart and is maybe doing, like, night school, but let her go to her graduation. Also, like I mentioned, Bucky is also graduating, even though he was older. I don't understand how that works.
Then we cut to back on the ship. It's graduation down on Earth. But...
Yeah, everyone on Earth is just sad Addison's not there. That's literally... But even Zed's dad is like, I miss her too. And I was like, did you like her? We never really saw you guys interact all that much.
You're usually throwing a wrench around talking like you're from Brooklyn.
But then it comes up to the ship and they're like, wow, we've decoded like 97%.
It's been stuck at 97%. Yeah, like, we can't get to go.
And so then Allie just whaps it and she's like, ah, oh, there you go.
And it starts showing Addison's memories.
Yeah, but I couldn't parse this. Because it seems like RuPaul just, like, pulled those up because, like, she was sad or whatever. But also, like, they never really pay it's RuPaul. But they never really pay service to, like, what the coordinates actually were encoded in her DNA. Because they just kind of watch her memories and see.
I read that as once they hit it, like, what those coordinates pull up her memories.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's supposed to show that. It's not framed well because it really seems like they're just like, well, we're all waiting for these coordinates to code. Let's watch Addison's memories.
Once they hitting it means they decode it, and decoding is Addison's memories. And I can't believe that Disney showed all of her old bad wigs in this flashback.
Oh, Emma, do you think they're going to get new footage? Are you kidding me?
No, but it's cuts from the other movies, and you see all of her old bad wigs.
You see what everybody's gone through, and like they're better together, you know? They overcome. And
but
this
they
is the...
kind of have this conversation where she's saying to them, like, because they're like, oh, this looks so horrible, you guys. There's so much, like, discord. And she goes, but no, discord can be a good thing.
Conflict.
Like, conflict can be a good thing. It teaches you. Being challenged is, like, good. It helps you grow, and, like, good things can come out of it. It shows, like, the zombies, like, joining their school and the wolves and stuff.
Because they just want to go to this utopia planet and go back to all everybody being chill and, like, nothing is a problem ever.
But then
basically,
they have the realization in that same moment of, like, our old home was destroyed because we were all in harmony and no one spoke up about the environment. Like, that was, like, what basically what happened is because no one can disagree. No one could be like, hey, this is a problem. Mm. So they're like,
we've been expelling a lot of greenhouse gases.
That's why that's our air is literally poison. But they're like, oh, Earth should be our new home. And, like, this was the utopia.
That's where she would have wanted all of us to live. And I was like, yeah, that was pretty obvious. Because it'd be weird if she was like, I built this whole beautiful life here. The most precious thing in the world is my daughter. Anyway, go to Jupiter.
Jupiter, yeah.
But
that's why I said it. My note is, why couldn't they figure this out 10 minutes ago?
Well, it's been, we do not know how long it has been between those two points. It could be days, could be months. I don't know how far apart graduation is.
Could be like Interstellar and like she lands on Earth and Zed's like 70 years old.
Yeah, but he's a zombie. Well, no, they do age, I know. But no, that would be interesting if there was like time dilation. What if she came back and it was actually would have been so amazing if she had come back and it was their college graduation. And like, so we all thought it was high school, but it's like, no, this is the Mountain College. It's been 4 years. But they're like, all right, RuPaul, turn your ass around and let's go back to Earth, I guess.
Turn your fabulous ass around. It's graduation and there's a party finale. Thank God.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I mean, well, Addison shows up for the graduation and everyone's like, cool, you're back. And I was like, I like this because I like the message we're going for about conflict helping you grow and like struggle, but like it really feels like it invalidates all of the nice like sentiment and stuff that had happened previously. But I mean, her and Zed,
I'm sure they turned into a test audience of horny teenage girls like me, and by that I mean I'm 31 years old. They were like, I'm sure that they tried to have them break up and the girls fucking threw garbage at the screen and said boo, hiss, fuck this movie like I did.
But no, before the party is the credits, like you were talking about.
Yeah, they run credits with the final song.
Well, yeah, but we have to do, they show the ending is done in like the crappy animation.
Oh.
And they're like, and so we all stayed in Seabrook and made it the best place no matter who showed up. And then they show like vampires
and
show
mermaids.
And then mermaids at one point, and I'm like, well, I would like to watch those movies actually.
Milo Manheim is going to be be 45 and we're going to be on Zombies 7.
And it's going to be like the Dodo Bird or something. They just run out of ideas. My next bet, maybe Mummies will get.
I also didn't like this last song. It bored me.
No, it was not a good
song.
I did
like how they had the light bulbs, like from the bit. Remember the first movie?
Oh, yeah, that's a callback.
That was a nice callback.
That's a callback. But, you know, the last song really isn't anything. But that's what I'm saying. It tries to kind of give the vibe of like, yep, we all stayed in Seaburg and it's all good because we don't know if we're getting that fourth movie yet. So this has to act as a wrap up for the whole trilogy. And I was like, I guess. There actually is a pretty decent joke where Bucky somehow gets on the spaceship and is like, I'm taking cheerleading to the stars! And I was like, that's actually a pretty good ending for that character. I like that. That's also, Aspen and Willa are dating now, like we mentioned.
We don't know. I think they're LeFou-ing us.
They're
a lesbian couple and start warning us.
I ship it. I thought it was...
I obviously ship it.
Yeah, I like the energy.
I want anyone in this movie to make out, except for someone with a computer screen. I don't want anyone dating a computer screen.
Yeah, Eliza doesn't... even shows up for the dance party. Is the robot there? I don't know.
I hope not.
Yeah, it's crazy that they're putting that this dance scene is just like, and credits. And also they're in this weird dance space that I don't know where it's supposed to be. Like,
it's nothing but love for you.
Yeah, but it's whatever. So, Emma, it sounds like you were not too hot on this cap off of what was... supposed cap off of the Zombies trilogy.
It was not my favorite Zombies.
Is it still the first one for you?
Yeah. I love that movie.
I don't know.
And I like the second one.
No, I think where I landed on the second was the second one is crazier and was just like more fun, whereas the first one felt like very rough around the edges. That's what I was saying about like, I like Zed a lot more on this one, but I think he and McDonald has always been fine, but like fully, like they got these roles down. Like they know exactly who they are.
I just like the plot of the first one so much more. Like I wish that we could take these fully formed actors and actresses and put them back into the plot of the first one. There's not like 17 characters.
Emma, it's,
and it could just be her hugging him on the football field. And
Emma, we know. No, Emma, there's one thing we know.
They get locked in that room together.
Emma, Hollywood is bad at writing couples who are in love. Yes. There needs to be conflict. They need to be constantly on the edge of breaking up.
I liked watching them fall in love.
But yeah, that can't be every movie. But yeah, I didn't hate this one. It just feels kind of...
They should have 50 first dates to her where she like forgets about Zed and then he has to convince her to fall in love with her again.
Just in general, like just gets a bonk on the head. Like,
no, aliens wave her mind.
Oh, that's kind of dark.
I heard the plot for the fourth one. I saw it online. Did you see it?
What, the plot? Is it leaked already?
Yeah, they're going. Addison and Zed go on a road trip.
Okay.
After their first year of college, and they encounter a new world of monsters.
Oh, all right.
So I don't know what that means. I don't know what I
stand by my mummy prediction. I think that's a...
No, it's not.
It's not mummies? I feel like that's a B-tier enough monster. Because that's the thing. I was surprised they put vampires in at the end, because they've been avoiding vampires like the plague, because they didn't want to get the Twilight comparison. Like, they didn't even really do werewolves.
The new people they've added are people Freya Sky and Malachi Barton as Victor, because they got there's
Victor Frankenstein.
It looks like there's a bunch of new characters besides Eliza and Willa. Those are the only returning.
Oh really? Okay.
They've wiped the slate of everyone.
I'm fine with that.
I'm assuming Eliza and Willa are coming with them on this road trip.
I mean, if Willa's gonna be there, Aspen better come, or they better like...
Aspen's not listed. And this is gonna be filmed in New Zealand instead of Toronto. The other ones are filmed in Toronto.
If they're introducing a character named Victor, I bet there's a Frankenstein thing going on.
Filming starts March 2024 in New Zealand, and they're going to reprise their roles. It takes place after they completed their schooling at Seabrook at the end of Zombies 3. Now they're hitting the road. Oh, the road trip before they start their sophomore year in college?
What?
I don't know. This could be wrong.
Well,
as adventures unfold, they unexpectedly discover the warring worlds of Sunnyside and Shadyside and encounter two new groups of monsters. Nova is one. And
that's the sunny side, I assume.
Right? And then Victor is shady side?
That's why there's got to be a Frankenstein thing, I bet.
Oh.
I've said that 3 times.
I haven't been listening.
I can tell.
I was too busy looking at this picture of McDonald's and Romania.
But back on...
Do you guys think they've ever kissed in real life?
I was going to ask, they haven't dated in real life, right?
I don't know. That's sad.
Well, they did kiss in real life for this movie. They didn't... I don't think they theater schooled it.
No, they did. I mean, like, I wonder if they've ever dated off camera. They have such a palpable chemistry. I don't think they're dating currently. Because I stalked the hell out of him after I watched School Spirits.
But back to this movie, Zombies 3, not Zombies 4, which hasn't been made yet. What would you rate it? You're still looking intently at your phone.
I'm so deep on Milo Manning's Instagram right now. He was in the Sabrina Carpenter Feather video and he's so cute, Nick.
Good for him. What would you rate this film to refocus your mind?
Oh, you know what else I learned about Milo Manning recently?
I don't. This is all going to get cut.
No,
I hope you know.
This is relevant. This is about this movie, so I'm allowed to talk about it. We have the same birthday. He's 23. He is the son of Cameron Manheim, who you don't know by name, but to my listeners out there who are complete freaks like me, and may have ever watched Ghost Whisperer. She played Delia Banks. Do you ever watch Ghost Whisperer with
me? I know
me?
About Ghost Whisperer. I haven't seen
it. I've seen every episode of Ghost Whisperer. It's horrible. If you were to rewatch it now, you would be shocked. You would actually have me committed to a mental institution. Anyway, she plays Jennifer Love Hewitt's best. Also, by the way, Jennifer Love Hewitt in Ghost Whisperer, her tits are out the entire time. Just every top is so low cut, boobs out. She plays Delia Banks, who is Jennifer Love Hewitt's best friend in Ghost Whisperer. And that blew the doors of my mind.
So he's a Nepo baby.
Sure. No idea. His mom was an actress. But she's like a character actor. She's been in so much.
What does that have to do with this movie? Romy and yeah. It just sounds like more Milo Manheim facts.
She got nominated for Golden Globe.
What does that have to do with this movie?
I would rate this movie a 7.5.
Really? That's way higher than I thought you were going to go.
I would rate this movie a 7. Actually.
Okay. I'm giving it a 4.
What?
I don't like these movies much.
Exceptional Zed got it past the 6.
I think that's higher than I rated the other one, because I didn't think this one was as bad of a watch as the other ones. I kind of just was like, this is whatever. But it's a mess.
I was actually really with this movie.
The last third is a huge mess.
The third is a mess. I was with this movie until the third.
And it commits a cardinal sin, which there are not good enough songs.
Yeah, I guess I'm actually looking at the songs.
Like the
I might have to do a 6.5. Even just based on how bad the finale is, it's like the credits are running over it and it's like so half-assed.
The hat
I thought for sure, I kept thinking like they're going to make up this third act with like a banger finale. Did you think that?
No. I was clocked out. I was just like,
you don't have enough faith.
This is downhill. Well, it wouldn't have paid off had I had it. But no, the hat I've always hung on the zombies franchise is the music and the dancing is good.
There's only two really good numbers.
The dancing still holds up. But yeah, it does not. The music does not carry this one, I'm afraid.
And I'm giving it a 6.5. Final ranking. You've talked me down a full point.
Okay. But speaking of music, are you interested to hear what we're watching next month?
Sure.
It's Emma's least favorite thing. It's time for Lucas to do a theme month.
Always unexpected. Never see them coming.
It's because we change who picks every month, because it's going to be for May, which means it's time to bring back Modern Movie May, even though this was already kind of a modern movie. But it was for April, so it doesn't matter. So I thought we'd check out Spin, the film about an Indian girl learning to be a DJ.
Oh, good for her.
Good for her. Is that all you have to, all your input on that?
Yeah, I'm still in Milo Manheim's mind.
I can tell.
Balls deep in over here.
Why don't you tell people where they can find you online, and I'll just grab the phone.
I'm at Emma Stone Tyler on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
I'm at Wildfire_King on Twitter, and you can find us on Twitter at @DComedyPodcast. Give us a like, give us a follow. We really appreciate it when you do all that, but of course you should give us a rate and review on the old iTunes or Google Play or Spotify, wherever you can rate us. If you give us a positive rating, it helps us out so much, and we really, really appreciate it when you do that.
What is the name of that movie that we're watching?
What's it called? Spin? I said it 5 seconds ago.
That seems lazy. I think they could have tried a little harder there.
This movie's just called Zombies. Like, these movies are just called Zombies. They not everything is like...
Oh, I think I fucked up her name earlier. I'm sorry, when I was talking about her. This stars Aventika, who I was talking about earlier, that the people were maybe going to cast for Rapunzel.
Oh, that's funny.
She has her name floating around in the Rapunzel casting, and she's in the live-action Mean Girls.
Oh!
Her name's Aventika. Sorry, I think I pronounced it wrong.
That's really funny.
Really cute. I like her a lot.
Full circle, baby.
She's like one of the best parts of the new Mean Girls. She's really funny. So maybe this movie will be great.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I haven't heard literally anything about it. We talked about it on the podcast at some point.
And it is made by the same people that does the zombie stuff. So.
Okay. Well,
I mean, have a similar vibe.
It might, but I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's a musical, but then there'll be some musical numbers. There's going to be some musical numbers, I'm sure, but we'll
see. She's a singer.
There's going to be a song then.
That's why I was like, she's like a musical.
DJs don't really sing, do they? I don't know. We'll find out.
I mean, the tagline is music is everything.
Well, yeah, but it's DJing. I don't know. We'll see. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Oh, and go to onentropy.com. There's great shows there. You'll like one. Guarantee it. For this month, I hope you guys enjoyed us talking about Zombies 3. I know Zombies 4 is coming, but I'm going to pretend that Zombies is over forever and I don't have to keep talking about...
Zombies will never die.
I don't have to keep talking about these movies. Although this definitely was the least offensive one to me. But we will see you next month, everyone. Keep zombieing on, I guess. I don't know. Bye-bye.
Beat me up, RuPaul.
Beat me up, RuPaul. Bye-bye.
Mama Ru.
DComs forever.
Many decades ago, out of fuel, my scout ship crashed on this planet. I would have died if not for a young humanoid, Eli. He hid me and nursed me to health. But with no ship to take me home, I was forced to hide my true identity.
I know how that feels.
I joined Eli in his school, and I discovered my passion, cheerleading. I even created a trophy.
The Zebra Cup.
But no longer in contact with our people, My hair grew white, and I lost my stardust powers. Though I gained something else, a family. Eli and I fell in love and married, and we named our firstborn Amashanta, but we always called her Missy.
That's my mom's name. Grandpa?
The alien scout was your grandma!
My grandma! Grandma Angie was an alien? My mom's an alien? You're part alien. That's why the ship beamed you up too. Said I know who I am! We have too much history, Zed.
Heck.